Several years ago, I don't mean a whole bunch of years ago, but several years ago when I was in high school, no, Esther, it hadn't been two or three centuries, but when I was in high school, I remember going to a place called, and perhaps you've heard of it, it's in Hermitage, Tennessee. Rick, have you ever heard of the Hermitage? The home of the 7th President of the United States. I was worried that Wesley might correct me if I was wrong, but the 7th President of the United States. There we go. Am I right, Wes? Okay, he said, yeah. Okay, we're good. I'm approved. We'll keep on going. So I remember going there and taking a tour, and we were in high school, and we would, I think, 9th or 10th grade. And I remember, I didn't want to go, but I remember the teacher saying, you can get extra credit, and if you go and you do a report on it, you can actually get a day away from school. Well, I was the first one on the bus. I was ready to go. And I remember going inside the Hermitage, and we had our little snacks, and we had a little Kool-Aid and a little couple of cookies or whatever, so I was thrilled. And then I remember going through the Hermitage, and there were some particular words that I captured out of this, Chris, that I've never forgotten. The lady that took us on the tour talked very clear. I mean, very, very crystal clear. And I remember as we would tour and taking a tour through there, she would say, as you very well know, this is the home of Andrew Jackson. He was the President of the United States and gave us the history associated with it. And then she began to take us on the tour. And then as we would go through this house and go through different rooms, she would always use his name. She would say things like, this is where Andrew Jackson relaxed. And then she would go a little bit further and she would say things, you know, and we'd go by this bedroom and she'd say, this is where Andrew Jackson, this is where he slept. And then she would go through and say, well, this is where Andrew Jackson would eat. And she just kept going on saying, this is the place where he would do this and this is a place he would do that. And then we went a little bit further. And I remember there was this great little office area, and she said, this is the place where he studied. This is the place where he held meetings. This is the place. So I kept hearing that all the way through. And for all of these years, from high school to now, those words, this is the place, it's just kind of stuck with me. And I've seen it, and I've used it in many different instances. But I want to bring it to you today in a lesson from God's Word. When I began to think about that tour that I had through the Hermitage, Darlene, I can't help but to think about what if you and me, just me and you and Larry, and we'll let Chris go with us, but what if we went on a tour of the Garden of Gethsemane? Y'all remember the Garden of Gethsemane, amen? What was the big event of the Garden of Gethsemane? That's where Jesus did what? Pray. Thank you, Rick. So we understand and know that if we took a tour and you and I was together walking through the Garden of Gethsemane, I wonder what kind of questions we would answer or ask, and then what kind of answers we would get. I wonder if we would say, this is the place where Jesus fell on his face and prayed to his Father. How many times? Three times. This is the place where Jesus had his friends to stay right here. When he got there, he asked his friends, three of them, three followers, three close people, three people he knew in his heart, or thought in his heart, if I may, that he could trust. But yeah, here was a teaching moment in that. So he asked his three to stay right here and watch for me while I go over here and what? Pray. I wonder if you and I was taking a tour, Esther, if we would say, this is the place where his friends were. This is the place where Jesus fell on his face. This is the place where he lamented, where he was very, very upset. This is a place, this is the place. And this is the place that Jesus walked back. Not one time, Jared, not the second time, but three times he went back and he found his friends fast what? Asleep. So I would have to say, this is the place where Jesus did that. This is the place, Cynthia, where it was. This is the place. This is the place. Are y'all getting where I'm going with this? All right. So I want to bring it out to our lesson today. This is the place. Amen? The Lord's church, this is the place. And we're going to look at several different things that we can consider. I think about the words, this is the place, when, let's just bring it to it. When other people are around us, not just our family and not just our church family, but when other people are around us and they see where we're at, I wonder if the questions are ever asked or thought about, is this the place where a Christian needs to be? When you're frequent a place that you know as well as I do, that it's just not a place for Christians, I wonder if it would warrant the question, is this the place where a Christian should be? Are you with me? And when people hear things come out of our mouths you know, is this the place where I need to be standing to hear this kind of stuff come out of a Christian's mouth? Is this the place for that? Is this the place where a Christian commits adultery against God by being involved in evil and unrighteousness? Is this the place where a Christian treated his brother or sister in an unkind manner? Is this the place where a child of God is disrespected and disregarded in all the different ways? Is this a place where a child can be disrespectful to his or her parents or their parents? Is this the place? Is this the place where the Lord is being mocked in so many different ways today? Is this the place where politics are being presented from the pulpit instead of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ? And don't tell me that's not happening today throughout the churches. There are many preachers today that will condemn the whole congregation if they don't vote the way or see the way he does. Do you agree with that? Brothers and sisters, let's use that good grammar, Amy. This ain't the place. Amen? This pulpit is designed and built by wood, but it's built by the Lord, and it is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the place. This is the place where we present the gospel. This is the place where we present the truth, the soul-saving word of Almighty God. This is where Christians come together to get along and to get along in peace and harmony and love with one another, not to argue and fight, not to have contention. Is this the place that we as Christians are bringing reproach upon ourselves and others by our actions? Is this the place where some people come to sow discord among the brethren? Is this the place where some people come and criticize the work of other individuals? Listen, is this the place for you? I want this place. You should want and desire this place. And I'm sure that you do. This place is this place of godly worship, brothers and sisters. A place where God is praised. A place where we lift up the very name of Jesus Christ. We are all very aware here at 613 James Avenue, J-A-C-O-C. We didn't come here about me. We're not here about you. We're here about God. Amen? We're here to worship God. We didn't come in here to get served. We come in here to serve. And so often, people judge the church today by, well, I didn't get anything out of it, and I didn't get this, and I didn't get that. Quit being so selfish and start giving a little bit. Give, and I'm not talking about monetary, but give your heart completely to God. Give your life in service to our Heavenly Father. That's when you're going to gain something. Do you understand? We get out of it what we, say it like you mean it, what we put in it. Is this the place? Is this a place where God is praised and a place where we lift up the name of Jesus and we offer Him praise and worship for being such a great and awesome Savior and a risen Savior? So I want you and I to take a look at a lesson from God's Word today. Obviously, you know the title by now, Is This the Place? Is this the place where the church is doing what the Lord would have us to do? So let's consider the following. The first point I want us to examine this morning is this. Is this the place? And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about right here. Is this part of it? Listen, is this the place that Jesus purchased with His own blood? Is this His church? All right, I'm glad you all agree to that because that put me on a different direction. If not, if you said, well, we don't know, then I'd have to go on the left side of the page. But since you agreed, we're going to go on the right side. And Amy, you'll be glad to know that the right side of the page is 11 minutes less. Shorter. How do you like that? All right, very good. So here's your first point. Is this the place that Jesus purchased with His own blood? Is it the church? Well, the answer is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, down in verse 18. Is this the place? Is James Avenue Church of Christ part of the church that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ? Absolutely so. This is part of the Lord's church. Amen? Say it like you mean it. Amen? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus was talking to Peter. And He said, Peter, upon this rock I will build church, and the gates of shall not prevail against it. Do you remember that? And then in the next verse, I think He even told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What does that mean, the keys? You think it's these kind of keys? Nope, there was no fast locks on the church, was it? What do you think that key represented? Authority. Say that word with me. Authority. He gave Peter the authority to go and preach. He gave Peter the authority to help him. Help who? Help Christ build His what? His church. Thank you, congregation. So you see that this part here at James Avenue Church of Christ, this one smaller congregation, is huge in its impact. this small congregation can be unbelievably great in the eyes of Almighty God, and it is great in the eyes of God, as long as we are staying compliant with His Word. Amen? As long as we're doing what He calls us to do. Folks, listen, this church is not mine. Do we get that? This church is not mine. I'm going to tick off some Facebook people here in just a second. Y'all get ready. This church is not mine. It's not yours. The church belongs to Christ Jesus, and it is He who adds to the body of Christ. It is He who adds to His kingdom. Why would I bring that up so passionately? I bring it up because I get so tired, and people should say, well, you should be thrilled about that. I'm not thrilled about it because that means they know nothing. When people will come out and they will say, hey, Jerry, we're going to surprise you one day and come to your church, I have to immediately become a potato head and grumpy because I have to tell them I don't own a church and neither do you. We are. Who does the church belong to? I didn't die for the church. I didn't give my blood for the church. I died of my sins in baptism, right? And my old one was died, and then I was resurrected with Christ to walk in the newness of life. But I did not design the church. I serve our risen Savior in the Lord's church. You and I together as brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us are ministers, aren't we? And we serve the risen Savior. Where? Right in the Lord's church. It's not mine. The church belongs to Jesus, and it is He who adds to it. Some would beg to differ. Now, I can't stand these preachers who think they're in charge, these preachers who think they run the show. They don't. They need to sit down and be quiet, close their pie hole, and let the leadership run the church. Amen? And we've got to go back on the left side if y'all don't answer that one. Right? The leadership. It's not the preacher who runs it. All right. So we have to remember one thing about that. And we find it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47. The leaders of the congregation didn't add you when you responded. Nobody else in the congregation added you to the church when you responded and was baptized. The preacher who baptized you or the youth minister that baptized you, he didn't add you to the body of Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, down in verse 47, the Lord tells us who adds us. And having favor with all of the people, the Lord added to whose church? Daily, those that are being what, Courtney? Saved. Amen. Proud of you. Absolutely. Those that are being saved. As I said, I often hear people say, Jerry, one of these days we're going to come and we're going to visit your church and we're going to have to do this and we're going to have to do that. We'll go eat afterwards and I'll pay your way. I'll take that last part any day of the week. But you can't come to my church because I don't have one. I'm a member of the body of Christ. The Lord allows me to be a servant of His. He allows me to be a minister. He allows me to present His Word, which is one of the greatest blessings of all. These doctors out there today, they go to years and years and years and years of schooling to try to save somebody's physical life. All I did was study the Bible, and God's allowing me to try to help save somebody's spiritual life. Amen? So I guarantee you the spiritual life saving has a lot longer touch than anything to do with a physical life saving. Does that make sense? So when you look over the book of Ephesians chapter 2, would you go there with me? Thank you, Esther. Would anybody else besides Esther like to go with me to the book of Ephesians? All right, good. Thank you, buddy. Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 22, we're going to see quickly that it was Christ Jesus, not Jerry, that gave His life for the church. It was Jesus. It wasn't Larry, it wasn't Rick, it wasn't Rob, it wasn't Junior, it wasn't Amy, it wasn't any of these people. It was Jesus, Tony Paul, do you understand? It was Jesus that gave His life. Well, I need to hush, and let's just see what the Bible says. Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. All found? But now in, give me the next two words. You once been far off, but brought, what's this, but brought near by the what? All right, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh, abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create Himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He, watch this, and He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him, talking about who? Say Jesus. We both have access by one Spirit, the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Isn't that awesome? Y'all are so excited. Isn't that awesome? We're members of the household of God. He adds us to the body of Christ. That's enough to make us celebrate. That's enough to make us happy. Not enough to go, yeah, that's cool. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Go to 21. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple. But it's not going to grow unless you are, look at the next three words, in the Lord. Thank you, Teresa. In whom you are being built together for a dwelling place in God, in the Spirit. Is this the place? Yes. Let us all be reminded of what the Scripture says over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, down in 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own. What does that mean? That means he gave his life for it, right, Teresa? He gave his life as a ransom for us. When someone visits right here at JACOC, will they quickly see that, yes, this is the place where they need to be? This is the place that they need to be. This is a place that Jesus purchased with his own blood, with his own life. So let's be sure that you and I, let's make sure that from this day forward, not saying we haven't in the past, but let's make sure that from this day forward, we stick to the Scriptures and we live by the Scriptures so that we are and will continue to be in the church that Christ has established, that Peter preached about on the day of Pentecost. Are we all together? The second point that I want us to look at is this. Is this the place? Is this the place where the lost can find Jesus? I'm wanting and desiring, and I hope and pray that you do as well. I don't give a rat's ear about all this other stuff that goes on. I don't care what color the carpet is. I don't care if we paint the wall. Well, I would if it was orange, but any other color besides orange. How about that, Amy? Any other color but that, preferably burgundy, would match with my desire. But that's okay. It's not about me. But listen, what we really need to be concerned about is not the color of the pews, not the color of any curtains, not if we have bright lights or dim lights, but we need to be concerned about what people can find in this building, in this church. Amen? And if a person can't walk in here and see Jesus, if a person can't walk into this facility and feel the presence of God, then there's a problem here. Amen? Amen? All right. So we need to be certain that we are sticking to the Scripture, that everything that we do and everything that we say is conducive with what the Bible says. If we're not going in line with what the Scripture says, Jesus is not going to be part of that. Do you understand? Jesus is not going to allow us to commit spiritual adultery. If we have someone in here that's not preaching the truth, I guarantee you Jesus is turning his back. He's not going to approve that. That's why it's so important that we have our Bibles open. That's why it's so important that you take these readings that I give you and don't ever quit, stop it. Don't say it again. Jerry said, I hear that all the time. Jerry didn't say it. Does that make you understand what I'm getting at? God said it. Jesus said it. Jerry reminded us of it. But I've heard people say, and I'm not mad at you, but people say, well, Jerry said the other day in the pulpit this. Jerry just repeated what I read right here. So when you refer to that, God said in his word, Christ has said in his word what we should do, and so on. I love what the Bible says over in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Isn't that cool? Knowing that Jesus is very present. We need, and our visitors and our people and our members, when you come into this building, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar and the grayish-blue walls. I'm not talking about that. But when people come here and we begin our worship service, you need to feel the presence of God. You need to be able to know that, yes, I am here and Jesus Christ is present with us. God is present with us. And we are here today to worship God and Him only. Amen? That's the reason. You're not here for the preacher. You're not here for the leaders. You're not here because he sings good or he sings good. You're not here for that. We are here to sing and make melody. We are here to hear the word of God being proclaimed, but we're here to glorify God. Amen? That's the purpose. Let us all be reminded about why we're here. But can a person find Jesus here? 1 Corinthians 14, 23 through 25 talks about it. Brothers and sisters, is this the place? Is this the place where Jesus can be found by the lost? Are we at this place leading other people to Jesus Christ? Millions and millions and millions of folks today are lost out in our world today. Let's be sure that this place is where the sick, the spiritually sick, can find that great physician. And God is the great physician, amen? So we need to do all that we can to help the lost come to know Jesus Christ. Right here, this is the place. The third and final point, this lesson will go home with you. Is this the place where we truly, now listen, where we truly bear one another's burdens? There's a difference in saying, hey, I hate to hear what you're going through, I'll be praying for you. And there's a difference between saying, I hate to hear what you're going through, and I promise you I'll be praying for you. Do you know there's a little bit of a difference? One word, promise. That means commitment, doesn't it? Often we may say, hey, I'll be praying for you. I've been thinking about you. I don't know you. You don't know me. But are we really doing that? Or is that just a friendly gesture? When we see someone sick, we see someone struggling, we see someone in difficulty, and we say, hey, I'll be praying for you. I'll be thinking about you. Does that mean more than just the 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 minutes that you're here with them here in the building? It should be when you tell somebody you're going to pray for them. Amy, when you pillow your head, you told me you was going to pray for me on my new work. You said you were going to pray for me here. You said you're going to pray for our family. So I trust, Amy, that when you pillow your head, Lord, be with Jerry Ladd Sr. We know he's crazy. He needs all the help he can get. We should pray for one another. Is that right? And not just a verbal utterance, Cynthia, but when I look at you and say, I've been praying for you, I have been. If I wasn't praying for you, I wouldn't say anything to you because I don't want to get caught not praying. So the reality is, Rick, when you say you're going to pray for the congregation here, I hope that you are. I hope that we are really doing just that. Listen, we are to bear one another's burdens. I am thankful today for the Lord's church because not only what it means to me in regards to my salvation, but also the fact that I have a church family that I can go to. And I can say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm having a lot of difficulties, and I need the prayers of the congregation. Isn't it nice that I can cast my burdens upon you? Isn't it nice that I can cast my burdens upon you? Yeah, that's why I only got two cards in the mail. I'm only serious. All right. So the reality is we should be able to cast our cares upon one another. Yes or no? I've heard several people say, you know, that different things that you're not sure what you would do without your church family. Velma Jeanette talked to me about that a couple of months ago, going through all that she's been through with the cancer. Sis, going through the different things. People here going through different trials in life. Velma was standing right back there by the counter, and she said, Jerry, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have my church family. Amen to that. Amen. Cynthia, you talked about that at the funeral home when we was there with Ma. You said, I don't know what I'd do without my church family. I've heard many of you say that in our conversations, and I'm telling you today, I don't know what I would do without my church family because I can pick up the phone and I can call and say, hey, Bobby, this is what I'm up against, man. I need your prayers. He doesn't judge. Bobby just, okay, I'll pray for you. Bye. Click. Don't ever call him because he'll get a dial. Oh, sorry, Bobby. Forgot you were there. The reality is, isn't it nice that we can pick up the telephone and call somebody and say, hey, I need this. Or call somebody and ask them what they need. Are you getting this? Okay. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, down in verse 2. Now this, you understand, is the law of God. So get that in your mind. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? That means you have a biblical injunction. You have a command from God to do what he's telling us to do. Bear one another's burdens. I like what Jesus says. I like what Peter talked about. 1 Peter 5, 7. The Bible says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So folks, listen, sin is real, temptation is real, life is full of difficulties and challenges and tribulations and trials, and I know for certain that it is so helpful that you and I, that together we have brothers and sisters in Christ at this congregation to help us in our walk, to help bear those burdens that we carry. I am thankful. I am so thankful for this place. Say that with me. I am so thankful for this place. Very good. Four of you didn't do it. I'll get you after service, but don't worry about it. I don't hold a grudge. All right. I'm thankful for this place. You know why? Because Jesus is here, isn't he? We can feel the presence of God right here in this assembly. Jesus is here, and he is offering everyone that is burdened with sin. He's offering everyone that is full of sadness and difficulties and challenges and setbacks and struggles. He's offering an invitation far greater than any invitation that you have ever received. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank you, Dana. I'll give you rest. Who said that? Jesus said it. I know the Bible's worthy to be read, but I always hear what Jerry Barber said. If it's written in red, it's worthy to be read. Amen? So I like that. I wish I could stole that, but he might be watching on Facebook and I'll get a letter from him. The reality is, the greatest invitation of all, is this the place? Is this the place that I can come and get away from all of the judgment of the world? Should be. We do not ever. This right here is not a judgment place. This is a hospital for the sick. Amen? But sadly, what the church has become throughout the brotherhood, and I'm not judging, I'm simply making an observation, but what we hear as ministers is the Lord's church today is just a great big old jury room full of judges. That doesn't mean that we are to overlook sin. That doesn't mean that we are to allow discord among the brethren. But it does mean that I'm not in a position to judge you inside and out. Does that make sense? You're not in a position to be able to judge me. If you see that I have error, then what are you to do? Is come to me in love, right? And say, hey, I know that we're worshiping the same God because there's one God. I know that we're guided by the one Spirit because there's only one Holy Spirit. I know we have one Christ and we have the Word of Christ Jesus. So we have all of these. So you would need and you have an obligation to help me with that. Here's the problem. In our world today, it's not like that. In our world today, it's an attack. And you know what? Let's just get real with it. If I came to you, Chris, and I said, Chris, you're in violation of this, man. What's your deal? You're going to be like, I'll show you what my deal is. And I'm probably not going to like the end result. But if I come to Chris and I say, hey, Chris, I know we were looking at Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm a little confused about that. Help me with this. Isn't that a little bit nicer? But these people who think they're the God police, hush, close your pie hole and learn to approach people. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying don't approach people that are in violation of Scripture. You'll be saving their souls, but there are ways to do it. Sadly, some people pop their chest out, they put their chips on the shoulder, and here they come. I got news for you. Remember this. I'm already guilty of it. The preacher with a bad bedside manner. I'm not going to listen to that. But if you come to me in love and say, hey, Jerry, I know you brought from the Scripture, Acts 20, verse 47, you said it was the elders that added to the church. I'm not sure where I saw that. How did you come to that conclusion? That's a different approach, isn't it? But if Amy comes to me at the door back there and goes, you big dummy, I thought you said, then I'm not going to love Amy as much as I do. Does that make sense? I'm not going to listen to her. You're not going to listen to me. We are to bring that to people in love, and that's what the Lord expects us to do. So, let's help each other. Let's make sure we are bearing one another's burdens. Let's do what the Lord is calling us to do. I want to bring this passage up. I'm getting ready to close. Is that my first time, Amy, I'm saying getting ready to close? Okay. All right, I got to hurry then because I only get three chances to close. All right, in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. Anybody know what the next part says? It covers a whole bunch of goodies, doesn't it? It availeth much. 1 Timothy 3, 14, 16 was brought out to us a little bit ago. We need to make sure that this is the place where people can come in and not be judged. We need to make sure that people know that they can walk into this building at James Avenue Church of Christ and criticism is not going to cover their whole front. We need to make sure that people know that when they walk in, they're going to feel uplifted. They're going to feel closer to God. They're going to know how to draw near to God like he tells us to, and not to be discouraged when they walk out of the door. Is this the place that will help me do what God's calling us to do? I believe it is. I believe this is a congregation of God's people. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to keep on marching. Amen? To keep on doing what God is calling us to do. You don't look at people, you look at God, amen? And if we're looking at God and we're sticking to the Scriptures, everything else will fall into place. Do you understand what I'm getting at? All right, so listen to me as I get ready to close. Is this the place? Is this the place that Jesus died for? I hope you shake your head yes. All right? Is this the place that is considered one of the greatest institutions that has ever been established? Amen. Is this the place where you and I can come and worship the Lord and know that we're doing that in spirit and in truth? John chapter 4, verse 24. Y'all ready? God is a... And those who worship Him must worship in... Very good, Georgia. In spirit and in truth. Is this the place where we can come together and sing and make melody in our heart? Ephesians 5, verse 19. Is this the place where we'll come together and know that we're going to hear preaching from the Word of God? 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the Word. Is this the place that we come together and worship and give back to the Lord as we have been prospered? 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Is this the place that we as Christians come together and partake of the Lord's Supper? Remembering the great sacrifice that was given for you and for me. Acts chapter 20, down in verse 7. Is this the place where we come together and pray, and we pray to our Heavenly Father, knowing with confidence that God indeed is hearing our prayers, knowing that we as followers of Jesus Christ, that He hears our prayers, and He answers them according to John chapter 9, verse 31. So as we close, Amy, that would be the third. As we close, is this the place that God is pleased with and glorified? Are you individually doing all that you can do to help make this congregation the greatest of all for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? One that God is proud to call His own? Is this the place? And is this the place where you can lead the thirsty to living water? Amen? Today, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of the Most High God, I encourage you to become one by hearing His Word, His Word. And I gave you His Word. Do y'all agree with that? All right, so then you believe. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. And then that's going to cause you to change your life. It's called repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then we are to make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that I believe, I know that Jesus is God's Son. I know He gave His life for me. Not believing only, but know it in your heart who Jesus is and what He's done for you. Upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Because we're all guilty of sin. Amen. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fallen of the glory of. But we also know in 6, 23, the wages of sin is. Thank you, darling. I don't want any part of that. Physical death's coming, but not a spiritual death. Alone for doing what Christ is calling us to do. Today, become a Christian if you're not one. If you are a child of God, but you've wandered from the fold of safety, I hope that you'll take this opportunity to come back to the Lord, to walk again in the newness of life, to walk again as walking testimonies of what Jesus has done in your life and what you're willing to do in the lives of others. If you have a need, any need at all, you're invited to come right now as together we stand and we sing.